Now let us listen to chapter number 6, My Childhood. It is an extract from the book Wings of Fire, written by APJ Abdul Kalam. Pages number 68 to 79. Introduction. The autobiographical account of childhood embodies the themes of harmony and prejudice, tradition and change. The questions guide the children to identify the instances of the themes. A map reading activity is given in this unit. Students will find out the geographical location of Dhanushkodi and Rameshwaram and the languages spoken at that time by different communities. This will develop a critical understanding of how life and society in the Deep South changed and developed over the years. Dhanushkodi and Rameshwaram are on an island, the Pamban Island, off the Tamil Nadu coast. The dictionary work encourages children to identify the contexts, literal and metaphorical, in which the given words occur. You may find other such words to add to the exercise. The dictation exercise in this unit requires the rearrangement of jumbled paragraphs. Ideally, this kind of dictation should be carried out with passages that the students have not seen before. The teacher dictates the three parts of the given passage in random order, one to each group in class. For example, part 2 first, then part 3, and finally part 1. The class has to share information in order to put the text together in the right order. This can be a class activity directed by the teacher. The speaking exercise includes an activity requiring students to ask other people for their opinion on the topic. Before you read, can you think of any scientists who have been statesmen? APJ Abdul Kalam, whose projects in space, defense, and nuclear technology guided India into 21st century, became our 11th president in 2002. In his autobiography, Wings of Fire, he speaks of his childhood. Now let's listen to My Childhood. Paragraph 1. I was born into a middle-class Tamil family in the island town of Rameswaram in the erstwhile Madras state. My father, Jainulab Deen, had neither much formal education nor much wealth. Despite these disadvantages, he possessed great innate wisdom and a true generosity of spirit. He had an ideal helpmate in my mother, Ashiyamma. I do not recall the exact number of people she fed every day, but I'm quite certain that far more outsiders ate with us than all the members of our own family put together. Paragraph 2. I was one of many children, a short boy with rather undistinguished looks, born to tall and handsome parents. We lived in our ancestral house, which was built in the middle of the 19th century. It was a fairly large pakka house made of limestone and brick on the Mosque Street in Rameswaram. My austere father used to avoid all inessential comforts and luxuries. However, all necessities were provided for in terms of food, medicine, or clothes. In fact, I would say mine was a very secure childhood, both materially and emotionally. Paragraph 3. The Second World War broke out in 1939 when I was 8 years old. For reasons I have never been able to understand, a sudden demand for tamarind seeds erupted in the market. I used to collect the seeds and sell them to a provision shop on Mosque Street. A day's collection would fetch me the princely sum of 1 anna. My brother-in-law, Jalaluddin, would tell me stories about the war, which I would later attempt to trace in the headlines in Dinamani. Our area, being isolated, was completely unaffected by the war. But soon, India was forced to join the Allied forces and something like a state of emergency was declared. The first casualty came in the form of the suspension of the train halt at Rameswaram station. The newspapers now had to be bundled and thrown out from the moving train on the Rameswaram road between Rameswaram and Dhanushkodi. That forced my cousin Shamsuddin, who distributed newspapers in Rameswaram, to look for a helping hand to catch the bundles, and, as if naturally, I filled the slot. Shamsuddin helped me earn my first wages. Half a century later, I can still feel the surge of pride in earning my own money for the first time. Paragraph 4. Every child is born with some inherited characteristics into a specific socio-economic and emotional environment and trained in certain ways by figures of authority. I inherited honesty and self-discipline from my mother. From my mother, I inherited faith in goodness and deep kindness, and so did my 3 brothers and sister. I had 3 close friends in my childhood: Ramanand Shastri, Aravindan, and Shivaprakashan. All these boys were from orthodox Hindu Brahmin families. As children, none of us ever felt any difference amongst ourselves because of our religious differences and upbringing. In fact, Ramananda Shastri was the son of Pakshi Lakshmana Shastri, the high priest of the Rameswaram temple. Later, he took over the priesthood of the Rameswaram temple from his father. Aravindan went into the business of arranging transport for visiting pilgrims, and Shivaprakashan became a catering contractor for the Southern Railways. Paragraph 5. During the annual Sri Sita Rama Kalyanam ceremony, our family used to arrange boats with a special platform for carrying idols of the Lord from the temple to the marriage site, situated in the middle of the pond called Ramatirtha, which was near our house. Events from the Ramayana and from the life of the prophet were the bedtime stories my mother and grandmother would tell the children in our family. Paragraph 6. One day, when I was in the 5th standard at the Rameswaram Elementary School, a new teacher came to our class. I used to wear a cap which marked me as a Muslim, and I always sat in the front row next to Ramananda Sastri, who wore the sacred thread. The new teacher could not stomach a Hindu priest's son sitting with a Muslim boy. In accordance with our social ranking, as the new teacher saw it, I was asked to go and sit on the back bench. I felt very sad, and so did Ramananda Shastri. He looked utterly downcast as I shifted to my seat in the last row. The image of him weeping when I shifted to the last row left a lasting impression on me. Paragraph 7. After school, we went home and told our respective parents about the incident. Lakshmana Shastri summoned the teacher and, in our presence, told the teacher that he should not spread the poison of social inequality and communal intolerance in the minds of innocent children. He bluntly asked the teacher to either apologize or quit the school and the island. Not only did the teacher regret his behavior, but the strong sense of conviction Lakshmana Shastri conveyed ultimately reformed this young teacher. Paragraph 8. On the whole, the small society of Rameswaram was very rigid in terms of the segregation of different social groups. However, my science teacher society of Rameswaram was very rigid in terms of the segregation of different social groups. However, my science teacher society of Rameswaram was very rigid in terms of the segregation of different. He used to spend hours with me and would say, "Kalam, I want you to develop so that you are on par with the highly educated people of the big cities." Paragraph 9. One day, he invited me to his home for a meal. His wife was horrified at the idea of a Muslim boy being invited to dine in her ritually pure kitchen. She refused to serve me in her kitchen. Shivasubramania Iyer was not perturbed, nor did he get angry with his wife, but instead served me with his own hand and sat down beside me to eat his meal. His wife watched us from behind the kitchen door. I wondered whether she had observed any difference in the way I ate rice, drank water, or cleaned the floor after the meal. When I was leaving his house, Shivasubramania Iyer invited me to join him for dinner again the next weekend. Observing my hesitation, he told me not to get upset, saying, "Once you decide to change the system, such problems have to be confronted." When I visited his house the next week, Shivasubramania Iyer's wife took me inside her kitchen and served me food with her own hands. paragraph 10. Then the Second World War was over and India's freedom was imminent. Indians will build their own country, declared Gandhiji. The whole country was filled with an unprecedented optimism. I asked my father for permission to leave Rameswaram and study at the district headquarters in Ramanathapuram. Paragraph 11. He told me as if thinking aloud, "Abul, I know you have to go away to grow. Does the seagull not fly across the sun alone and without a nest?" He quoted Khalil Gibran to my hesitant mother. "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They can come through you, but not from you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts." Word meanings. Erstwhile means former. Innate means inborn, a quality or feeling in one's nature. Austere means simple, strict, and severe. Princely sum means generous amount, here ironic. Anna means an old Indian coin worth about 6 paise. Allied forces refers to the armies of UK, USA, and Russia during the Second World War. Could not stomach means could not tolerate. Downcast means sad or depressed. Conviction means a strong opinion or belief. Ritually pure means kept protected from all outside influences for the observances of religion. Unprecedented means unparalleled or new. Thinking about the text. Activity: find Dhanushkodi and Rameswaram on the map. What language or languages do you think are spoken there? What languages do you think the author, his family, his friends, and his teachers spoke with one another? Answer these questions in one or two sentences each. 1. Where was Abdul Kalam's house? 2. What do you think Dinamani is the name of? Give a reason for your answer. 3. Who were Abdul Kalam's school friends? What did they later become? 4. How did Abdul Kalam earn his first wages? 5. Had he earned any money before that? In what way? Answer each of these questions in a short paragraph of about 30 words. 1. How does the author describe A. his father, B. his mother, 3. himself? 2. What characteristics does he say he inherited from his parents? Discuss these questions in class with your teacher and then write down your answers in 2 or 3 paragraphs each. 1. On the whole, the small society of Rameswaram was very rigid in terms of the segregation of different social groups, says the author. A. Which social groups does he mention? Were these groups easily identifiable? For example, by the way they dressed? B. Were they aware only of the differences, or did they also naturally share friendships and experiences? Think of the bedtime stories in Kalam's house, of who his friends were, and of what used to take place in the pond near his house. See, the author speaks both of people who were very aware of the differences among them and those who tried to bridge these differences. Can you identify such people in the text? D. Narrate two incidents that show how differences can be created and also how they can be resolved. How can people change their attitudes? 2. A. Why did Abdul Kalam want to leave Rameswaram? B. What did his father say to this? 3. What do you think his words mean? Why do you think he spoke those words? Thinking about language. Find the sentences in the text where these words occur. Erupt, search, trace, undistinguished, casualty. Look these words up in a dictionary which gives examples of how they are used. Now answer the following questions. 1. What are the things that can erupt? Use examples to explain the various meanings of erupt. Now do the same for the word surge. What things can surge? 2. What are the meanings of the word trace? And which of the meanings is closest to the word in the text? 3. Can you find the word undistinguished in your dictionary? If not, look up the word distinguished and say what undistinguished must mean. Match the phrases in column A with their meanings in column B. Column A contents: 1. Broke out. 2. In accordance with. 3. A helping hand. 4. Could not stomach. 5. Generosity of spirit. 6. Figures of authority. Column B contents: 1. An attitude of kindness. A readiness to give freely. 2. Was not able to tolerate. 3. Began suddenly in a violent way. 4. Assistance. 5. Persons with power to make decisions. 6. According to a particular rule, principle, or system. Study the words in italics in the sentences below. They are formed by prefixing un or in to their antonyms, which means words opposite in meaning. I was a short boy with rather undistinguished looks. Un plus distinguished. My austere father used to avoid all inessential comforts. In plus essential. The area was completely unaffected by the war. Un plus affected. He should not spread the poison of social inequality and communal intolerance. In plus equality and in plus tolerance. Now form the opposites of the words below by prefixing un or in. The prefix in can also have the forms il, ir, or im. For example, illiterate equals to ill plus literate. Impractical is equal to im plus practical. Irrational equals to ir plus rational. You may consult a dictionary if you wish. The words are adequate, acceptable, regular, tolerant, demanding, active, true, permanent, patriotic, disputed, accessible, coherent, logical, legal, responsible, possible. Passive voice. Study these sentences. My parents were regarded as an ideal couple. I was asked to go and sit on the back bench. Such problems have to be confronted. The italicized verbs in these sentences are made up of a form of the verb be and a past participle. For example, were plus regarded, was plus asked, be plus confronted. These sentences focus on what happens rather than who does what. Notice that the doer of the action is not included in the sentences. If necessary, we can mention the doer of the action in a by phrase. For example, the tree was struck by lightning. The flag was unfurled by the chief guest. Rewrite the sentences below, changing the verbs in brackets into the passive form. 1. In yesterday's competition, the prizes give away by the principal. 2. In spite of financial difficulties, the laborers pay on time. 3. On Republic Day, vehicles not allow beyond this point. 4. Second-hand books buy and sell on the pavement every Saturday. 5. Elections to the Lok Sabha hold every 5 years. 6. Our national anthem compose Rabindranath Tagore. Rewrite the paragraphs below using the correct form of the verb given in brackets. 1. How helmets came to be used in cricket. Nari Contractor was the captain and an opening batsman for India in the 1960s. The Indian cricket team went on a tour to the West Indies in 1962. In a match against Barbados in Bridgetown, Nari Contractor seriously injure and collapse In those days, helmets not wear Contractor hit on the head by a bouncer from Charlie Griffiths. Contractor's skull, bracket start, fracture, bracket close. The entire team, bracket start, deeply concerned, bracket close. The West Indies players, bracket start, worry, bracket close. Contractor, bracket start, rush, bracket close, to hospital. He, bracket start, accompany, bracket close, by Frank Worrell, the captain of the West Indies team. Blood, bracket start, donate, bracket close, by the West Indies players. Thanks to the timely help, contractor, bracket start, save, bracket close. Nowadays, helmets, bracket start, routinely use, bracket close, against bowlers. 2. Oil from seeds. Vegetable oils, bracket start, make, bracket close. From seeds and fruits of many plants growing all over the world, from tiny sesame seeds to big, juicy coconuts. Oil, bracket start, produce, bracket close, from cotton seeds, groundnuts, soya beans, and sunflower seeds. Olive oil, bracket start, use, bracket close, for cooking, salad dressing, etc. Olives, bracket start, shake, bracket close, from the trees, and bracket start, gather, bracket close, up, usually by hand. The olives, bracket start, ground, bracket close, to a thick paste, which is spread onto special mats. Then the mats, bracket start, layer, bracket close, up on the pressing machine, which will gently squeeze them to produce olive oil. Dictation. Let the class divide itself into three groups. Let each group take down one passage that the teacher dictates. Then put the passages together in the right order. To Sir, with love. 1. From Rameswaram to the Rashtrapati Bhavan. It's been a long journey. Talking to Nona Valia on the eve of Teacher's Day, President Dr. A.P.J. Abdul Kalam talks about life's toughest lessons learned and his mission, being a teacher to the Indian youth. A proper education would help nurture a sense of dignity and self-respect among our youth, says President Kalam. There's still a child in him, though, and he is still curious about learning new things. Life's a mission for President Kalam. 2. Nonetheless, he remembers his first lesson in life and how it changed his destiny. I was studying in Standard 5 and must have been all of 10. My teacher, Sri Sivasubramanya Iyer, was telling us how birds fly. He drew a diagram of a bird on the blackboard, depicting the wings, tail, and the body with the head and then explained how birds soar to the sky. At the end of the class, I said, I didn't understand. Then he asked the other students if they had understood. But nobody had understood how birds fly, he recalls. 3. That evening, the entire class was taken to Rameshwaram shore. The president continues, My teacher showed us sea birds. We saw marvelous formations of them flying and how their wings flapped. Then my teacher asked us, Where is the bird's engine and how is it powered? I knew then that birds are powered by their own life and motivation. I understood all about birds' dynamics. This was real teaching. A theoretical lesson coupled with a live practical example. Sri Siva Subramanya Iyer was a great teacher. That day, my future was decided. My destiny was changed. I knew my future had to be about flight and flight systems. Speaking. Here is a topic for you to 1. Think about. 2. Give your opinion on. Find out what other people think about it. Ask your friends, seniors, parents to give you their opinion. The topic is, Career building is the only goal of education. Or, getting a good job is more important than being a good human being. You can use the following phrases. First, while giving your opinion, I think that, in my opinion, it seems to me that, I am of the view that, as far as I know, if you ask me. Second, saying what other people think, you may use. According to some, quite a few think, some others favor, 30% of the people disagree, 50% of them strongly feel. Third, asking for others' opinions. You may use, What do you think about? What do you think of? What is your opinion about? Do you agree? Does this make you believe? Writing. Think and write a short account of what life in Rameshwaram in the 1940s must have been like. Were people rich or poor? Hardworking or lazy? Hopeful of change or resistant to it? Quote. In the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. So that you are on par with the highly educated people of the big cities.